eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 36, to the choir master of David, the servant of the Lord. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and to do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. As I record this podcast, it's late in the afternoon. My window in my church office faces out. It's a narrow window that faces to the west. And so in the evening, in particular, the sunlight streams through. And my room is a little bit hazy right now. I actually just extinguished a candle. And the reason I did that was because the church offices smelled like weed. Just a few minutes ago, I helped somebody that was in need of a room to stay. The fancy word we use for that is benevolence, but it never feels very benevolent. It always feels complicated. And it feels like Psalm 36 is a fitting psalm to read even after simply meeting this couple that I just met, but even in the sense of what lies on my own heart. It is a psalm of David, and I love how he titles it, The Servant of the Lord. But it's so fascinating to me because here I am trying to provide someone, help someone with something, and verse 2, for he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. And initially, I want to, when someone comes in and it's like they're broke and they're literally extinguishing what they're smoking out front of the church, and they walk into the office and the aroma is pungent, we'll put it that way. And this is not some diatribe against weed. That would be hypocritical of me at best. But in the sense that there's just this sense of, do you not know what this smells like? Or you think you're like fooling me coming in here? And so when we read Psalm 36, there is this really three-part psalm where it's sort of bizarre, but once you get to the third part, you understand what's going on here. First, it has a description in verse 1 through 4 of the wicked, how transgression troubles them. And the psalmist, as David reflects, this is clearly a problem that he's considering, though we don't know why or what the ultimate reasons are for that. But he talks about how his sin and his wickedness troubles him deep in his heart. He does not fear God. He flatters himself. The words of his mouth, are trouble and deceit. He plots on his bed. He does not reject evil. Then verses 5 through 9 is a beautiful expression of praise, that your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heaven, your faithfulness to the clouds. The poetry in these several verses is ones that we write songs still with today. In your light do we see light. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Again, this is a expression of praise to God, but we don't really understand why yet. It's only really when we get to the end of this, verses 10, 11, and 12 of Psalm 36, that we understand that this is a prayer psalm. that this is ultimately when David extends to God and prays to God that he would continue to protect the faithful from the faithless, or the one who is trying to be righteous from sin and from evil, because verse 11 reminds him, "Let not arrogance, the foot of arrogance, come upon me." That ultimately it is only in prayer that this psalm makes sense. It's only because of David's situation, where he is contemplating what is happening with the wicked around him, that he looks to God, who is worthy of praise, who is steadfast, who is abundant in the blessings that he pours upon us. And let us not miss that simply in a spiritualization of this in some sort of New Testament reading, but rather in the fullness of life, the wholeness, the well-being that comes ultimately from following God and from seeking righteousness. And ultimately, this is a psalm that seeks to pray then to God for protection, less for understanding, but ultimately for his steadfast love to be shown to us. I'm not saying, as I'm even thinking about my situation, because inevitably that's the problem with benevolence, I find, is you get this, I'm better, you're not, I'm doing well, you're not. And even as I debated lighting a candle in my office, part of me wanted the smell just to stay, because it reminds me that people are much more desperate day to day than I am. And that wickedness and evil and sin, and yes, that's the results of the situation this person was in, some of it their own, some of it other people, even as they're explaining to me, and you can just tell from the jumbled story that's coming out how difficult that is. Even as all that comes out, I want to seek the Lord, that no arrogance would come upon me, that the hand of wickedness would not come upon myself. And typically that problem I find is less some sort of external force and more the problems that I have with my own heart. And so I pray that as you pray Psalm 36, and this psalm really just struck me, such a chord for me today, that this psalm reminds us that this is how we are supposed to pray, that this is the prayer book of the Bible. Yes, it is a songbook as well, and one that we praise, but it also is one that should inform our prayers. I was reading through one of Eugene Peterson's books on ministry this last week, and he talks about how Jonah, when he finds himself in the belly of the whale, the great fish, he doesn't express some sort of new sentiments. He repeats a lot of psalms. He repeats a lot of phrases that are common. He prays the way he knows he needs to pray, and ultimately he does that with a very weird psalm or prayer of praise. This, as we look at Psalm 36 and reflect on the wicked, as we praise God for his steadfast love, and then as we plead for his care and for him to take care of our own anxious hearts and our own desires, it's a reminder that we need to be the kind of people who pray like David. I pray that you're encouraged from Psalm 36, and I thank you again for joining us and for listening. And I pray again that, like Psalm 1 says, you may be like the righteous man, firmly planted by streams of righteousness. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.